Hey guys, I'm happy to announce a partnership with Reformation Heritage Books. Do you want to start reading the Puritans but just don't know where to begin? Puritan Treasures for Today from Reformation Heritage Books makes the riches of these godly writers of old accessible for the modern reader. With updated language and helpful instructions, these classic works from John Owen, Jeremiah Burroughs, and more are the perfect starting point for the curious reader. Learn more about the Puritan Treasures for Today at heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Use coupon code SHEPHERDS for 10% off your order. That's heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Coupon code SHEPHERDS. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hey guys, welcome back. It is episode 529. I think I hit the nail on the head. Today we're talking about the London Baptist Confession, chapter 6. We're talking about sin, corruption, the fall, and punishment. So let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord's help, and we'll dive in. Father, we just need help, as always. God, we thank you that the fall was not the end of the story, that you had a plan, and we are recipients of your great grace, and your grace reached through the consequences of the fall and saved us, and we just thank you for that. Lead this time, I trust you will. Help us, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. You guys know of all the announcements. Go check out everything. Links are in the show notes. Go check it out. Also, Sons and Slaves, we should be recording an episode here tomorrow or maybe later this afternoon. We'll see. And I'll get that posted. Also, there is a great giveaway going on right now through October the 4th, I believe, of the Puritan Treasures for Today set from Reformation Heritage Books. So you'll want to check that out. It's free to sign up, and you might be the winner. So check that out. I'll put that link in the show notes as well. All right. So there are some differences between chapter 6 in the Second London Confession and the Westminster Standards here. We've got a longer first paragraph. We also, in the London Baptist Confession, only have 5 paragraphs, where there are 6 paragraphs in the Westminster Confession. And there are negligible differences, but there are differences nonetheless. So we'll work through this. We're not going to cover both confessions in its entirety, but we do get to my first exception that I take from paragraph 5 in this chapter. Okay, so let's dive in. The first paragraph is the most notable of differences in these two confessions. So let me just read the Westminster first, and then we'll see the additions in the London Baptist. Okay, here's what it says. Our first parents, being seduced by the subtlety and temptation of Satan, sinned in eating the forbidden fruit. This, their sin, God was pleased, according with his wise and holy counsel, to permit, having proposed to order it to his own glory. Okay, that's all. If you're watching on video here, if you're not, you can jump on over to the video and just open these two confessions online if you want to and see the differences. But you can see paragraph 1 right there is pretty short. And then here are the additions in paragraph 1, chapter 6 in the London Baptist. Although God created man upright and perfect, so it starts with a statement of the image of God and how God created mankind. It continues, and gave him a righteous law, which had been unto life, had he kept it, and threatened death upon the breach thereof, yet he did not long abide in this honor. Satan, using the subtlety of the serpent to seduce Eve, then by her seducing Adam, who, without any compulsion, did willfully transgress the law of their creation and the command given unto them in eating the forbidden fruit, which God was pleased, according to his wise and holy counsel, to permit, having purposed to order it to his own glory. So you can see that the terminology and language, as they sought out to do, that we saw in the preamble, is similar when we get to the end of that paragraph. But there are those additions. I think it's good and helpful additions. I don't think they were unnecessary. So paragraph 2. Our first parents, by the sin, fell from their original righteousness and communion with God, and we in them, whereby death came upon all. And we in them, whereby death came upon all, and all became dead in sin, and whereby and wholly defiled in all the faculties and parts of the body and the soul. So corruption of sin, it goes down to our nature, the nature of mankind, and we were there as well. Paragraph 3. They, being the root, and by God's appointment, standing in the room instead of all mankind. So there we see federal headship right there of Adam as the representative of all mankind. The guilt of the sin was imputed and corrupted nature conveyed, to all their posterity, descending from them by ordinary generation, being now conceived in sin and by nature children of wrath, the servants of sin and the subjects of death, and all other miseries, spiritual, temporal, and eternal, unless the Lord Jesus set them free. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. But if Christ has not set you free, the remaining posterity of Adam, from Adam forward until Christ returns, everybody is born with a sin nature. And this is the Christian doctrine. This is not just Reformed Protestantism. This is all Protestants that agree. And we as Protestants confess, or the Scriptures declare, that mankind is trapped and in bondage to sin in every part of our being, from birth forward. So we don't just sin, we have a sin nature. We don't just have a problem of making mistakes. We're not victims of our own decisions or what's imposed upon us from the outside forces of the world. We are by nature and choice, we are in rebellion to God. So we are trapped, and the sin of Adam is on all his posterity that were naturally generated or ordinarily generated. So everybody forward is born with a sin nature. And this is observable, just anecdotal evidence. As you can see, you consider life in this world, if you just put biblical lenses on, you'll see the corruption of man everywhere. And the first impulses of the unregenerate man is to rebel against God. It's not to honor and obey him. Paragraph 4, from this original corruption, whereby we are utterly indisposed, disabled, and made opposite to all good, and wholly inclined to do all evil, do proceed all transgressions. This is total depravity. This is what it means to be human. We are not good, and we are not innocent. And I just said that we're not victims. We are perpetrators of crime against God and against others, and we have to take that blame. We have that. And we go to hell. Mankind goes to hell. If they go to hell, their sins aren't paid for in Christ, because of those transgressions against God, because of sin, not because of unbelief. That unbelief is one of the sins we get condemned for, but we go to hell. People go to hell because of their sins, because they have sinned against a holy God. And then finally, paragraph 5, and then the content of these 5 paragraphs are right in line with the 6 paragraphs of the Westminster. So there's our combination of the two today. But this is where we get to my first exception of this confession. So far I've been a full subscriber, and at this point, there's wording in this that I do not think is complete. So we get to it right here. This corruption of nature during this life doth remain in those who are regenerated. And although it be through Christ pardoned and mortified, yet both itself and the first motions thereof are truly and properly sin. Hey guys, I want to tell you about Rise Nutrition. It's located in Anna, Illinois, right here in Southern Illinois. Their mission is to empower the community through wellness. They do this through providing clean supplements and education. Rise provides monthly education seminars about a variety of topics, from how to build macros, the best pre-workout for fitness goals, what vitamins to take as we get older, and so much more. For the local listeners, they have a full-time nutritionist on site, and that's something that no other supplement store is doing in Southern Illinois. They also have fresh fruit smoothies that are made with clean products. For the non-locals, it can be hard to find clean supplements. The crew at Rise Nutrition can help you get the best and the cleanest stuff to help you get strong. Stop buying from the other guys and go to risenutrition.shop and use the coupon code SHEPHERDS10 for 10% off online or in store. On another note, 2 of our elders train at Rise Performance Gym with our good buddy, preacher man, Joey Hawkins. So if you are looking for a gym, head on over to Rise. Okay, this is where I push back against paragraph 5. It is true that sin doth remain in the regenerate until Christ returns or until they go home. That is absolutely true. The sin nature, the war against the flesh is there. We sin. There's no such thing as Christian perfection. I repudiate that, or that idea. You can't go days without sinning. You can't not sin, because it's not a matter of just doing the right thing, but it's doing the right thing with the right motives. And then it's not just not doing the wrong thing. We've got positive commands of loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you could always love God more. There's greater perfection to our love that is incomplete in this life. So sin does remain. But the part I take exception to, and I'm just going to point to a couple passages to highlight why I think more needs to be added to this. And when we get to the chapter on sanctification, there is a little bit more, but it still doesn't clarify what I think is left out and improper in paragraph 5. It says, yet both of itself and the first motions thereof are truly and properly sin in the regenerate person. That the sin nature that's there constitutes the truly and properly sin, and the first motion thereof of the Christian or the believer is now sin. Essentially saying that although they are pardoned and although that their sin is being mortified, that there's still the exact same bottom for the Christian and the non-Christian, the exact same motive when it comes to our life. That is, the first motive thereof is truly and properly sin. And I reject that. I do not believe that's the case. Why would I take an exception? And I think it is important for us to understand, if we do take exceptions, that is a significant deal to take exceptions to confession. But I have this written in here, question marks, circles, notes from previous years of working through this. There are two reasons. Number one, the anticipation of what God will do in the New Testament. Now, people are converted the exact same way, New Testament and Old. And yet, there is something that's anticipated in the Old that's going to come in the New that isn't present in the Old. It's something that the Holy Spirit is going to do inside of people. Now, justification is not about what God does to somebody. It's about what Christ has done for somebody. So we aren't justified by God's work in us. We're justified by the work of Christ for us, okay? He does work in us, but that's not why we are justified. We are justified solely by God's grace through the work of Christ. That is, our sins imputed to him, his righteousness imputed to us. Declared righteous, counted righteous. Doesn't mean that we are actually righteous, even though we're growing in holiness. We still have that indwelling sin. So I fully affirm that part. But this anticipation from the Old Testament, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. This promise, this anticipation, is something that God will do in the future. It has something to do with the Spirit of God indwelling the people of God and this new heart, this circumcision of heart that we see in Romans chapter 2. And so I understand we can't make the mistake of saying salvation or conversion is different from the New Testament to the Old. However, we also can't make the mistake of minimizing this anticipation of what the Spirit of God will do in the people of God in the New Testament, about what God will do when he replaces the heart of stone with the heart of flesh. And then we get to passages like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Consider this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The old is gone. The new has come. There's something fundamentally different about the nature of the heart. Then what do we see in the book of Acts? We see in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit of God at Pentecost comes and invades. What is promised in John chapter 14 and 16? It's that the Spirit of God will come and will indwell the people of God. And the bottom, the first motive for those that have a new heart isn't what used to be there. We aren't totally depraved anymore. That's something we used to be. We now have a new identity. So we remain person who sins. We remain a sinner. But we have this new category of sainthood where we have all these different identities as the people of God. We're saints, clay, sheep. These are all identities that we can see, friends of God. You know, you can go down through the New Testament and think about all that. I've done work on this before and talked about this before, of all these, the identities of a New Testament. We're a slave. All of these belong to us. But before somebody's a Christian, they're dead in their trespasses and sins. And when somebody becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God has regenerated them, and we aren't justified by what God does in us, but God certainly does work in us. He changes us from the inside out. The Holy Spirit of God indwells us. We're different people. We have different motives. We have different desires. The old is gone. The new has come. And so I reject and take exception to paragraph 5 that says, yet both of itself and its first motions thereof are truly and properly sin. What needs to be added, if we're just only talking about the flesh, the war of the flesh and the spirit, if that's what we're only talking about is just the nature of sin, where we still struggle from the inside and that sin nature, then what needs to be added, because it's left out, is there is a new heart where the proper motive, where the first motives thereof are truly and properly obedience to our King. That's the true motive of the Christian life. That's the motive. I want to obey. It's gratefulness. It's gratitude. We obey because we want to, because God has saved us and we are grateful. If somebody came to you and gave you a stack full of cash, $1 billion, and said, now go out and give $5 to the next 10 people you see. Well, you'd be like, can I give more? Of course. No problem. Absolutely. Because you're grateful. You've been a recipient of a great, great gift. And because of that, you've been changed and you're joyfully giving to others and you think, man, God, thank you. And so this is my one exception. And so I'm a full subscriber to chapter 5 with the exception of that. So there's my first exception of chapter 6, excuse me. And then next week on to chapter 7, where we get to some significant differences between these two confessions. Okay, thanks so much for listening, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crypt podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrypt.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crypt, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.